Beloved friends, we welcome you to the meditation and the ministry of God's precious word in our lesson today. It is the commencement of a series from the great Gospel of John. The blessed person of Christ will be the great theme and the worthy object of our attention in this Gospel written by his servant John. We begin in chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, our first meditation of him who is called the Word of Life. Let us first of all seek God's benediction and blessing and his help in prayer. Beloved and blessed Father, it was thine own dearly beloved Son who became flesh and dwelt amongst us full of grace and truth. By thy Spirit's power, sanctify to our souls the blessed study of the Word of God today. May we bow our hearts in worship for the blessed one who came into this world to save sinners. We ask it in his precious name, and we ask it for his glory. Amen. The paramount subject in the Gospel of John is Christ's relationship with the Father as the Son of God. This Gospel has properly been called by many the Gospel of the glory of the Son of God. If you will read carefully verses 30 and 31 in the 20th chapter of the book, you will find revealed the purpose for which it was written. John had before his own heart three great truths relevant to the person of Christ. First of all, in those two verses, first of all, he brings before us the deity of Christ, that he is the Son of God. Second, he brings before us his humanity. His name is Jesus. And third, he brings to our hearts his messiahship, for he is the Christ. Yet do not fail to note, in these same verses, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the apostle repeats the responsibility of mankind toward Christ and his blessed person, that ye may believe, and the result of believing, that believing ye may have life. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 is our first portion of meditation. This section of Scripture begins by speaking of Christ as the Word, with continued facts regarding his Godhead. And in the closing 18th verse, the apostle identifies him as the only begotten Son of God, or the only begotten Son of the Father. First, let us consider the meaning of this title given to Christ, the Word. In human understanding, a word to us is the expression of a thought. Certainly Christ is called the Word because he is the expression of God's thoughts as well as the image of God, and he is the revealer and the interpreter of God's mind and of God's will. Second, let us note three great facts that are stated in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read in the verse. First, he is eternal in his person. He had no beginning. Before creation was made, and before time ever began, he ever existed. Second, he is co-eternal with God. With God the Father, the Word was with God, a person distinctly different as a person from God the Father. And third, the Lord Jesus Christ is very God, for the Word was God, we have in the verse. And in verse 2, we have but a repetition of his pre-existence when he was with God from the very beginning. A third fact we would next notice, he is the great creator. All things were made by him, and without him not anything was made that was made. Verse 3. He was creator as well as the cause of the creation. The beloved apostle Paul's words in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 should be studied in connection with this fact. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, writes the beloved Apostle Paul. A fourth fact we must notice, that in relation to Christ, in verses 4 and 5, there are two truths concerning him. For we read, first, in him was life, and then that the light was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. These two truths that are great, they concern, first, that he is life, L-I-F-E. Second, he is light, L-I-G-H-T. Now let us consider them separately. In him was life. First, the implication is that Christ is the author, he is the source, and he is the cause of life. In retrospection of this, it looks back to the fact of creation in verse 3. But not only that, also it must be applied to spiritual life, as well as eternal life. This is more important, for all of John's gospel emphasizes that which is spiritual and that which is eternal life, communicated by the new birth, and that by faith for those that believe upon the name of the Son of God, and they become immediately the children of God. But the second great truth in these verses 4 and 5, Christ is the light. For the life was the light of men. Life and light, they are distinct, yet light, listen carefully, light brings life. The two are inseparably connected to the Son of God, and together communicated to those who believe in the Lord Jesus. Is not light spiritual illumination? Does not the blessed Lord, as the light, reveal to us as sinners our own sins, our errors, and then he reveals the remedy for our souls through his own work of redemption upon the cross, bringing us to believe in him? Yes, my sinner friend, let Christ, as the light, shine into your dark heart. Let him reveal to you even now that life eternal can be yours, if you would come to him in simple trusting faith. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, writes the Apostle John in his Epistle chapter 5. The rejection of the light is recorded in verse 4. Christ shone as the light in the world of darkness below. But how sad is the commentary? The darkness comprehended it not. The world, influenced by the spiritual powers of darkness under sin and Satan, fails to welcome the light. Oh, beloved, let us give heed to the fact Christ is not only the life, but he is the light of men. Oh, that the light would shine into many darkened hearts today. But our fifth consideration in our lesson, as we take up verses 6 through 8, the witness to that light. It is the witness of John the Baptist. Very simple and plain do these verses reveal that the world was in such darkness that a witness was necessary to announce the coming of him who is light. But very clearly does the record remove any thought of John the Baptist being that light. For John the Baptist declared, I am not that light. But he was the witness to that light. But now we find, as we come to verse 9, Christ is the true light because of Christ coming into the world. He is a light for everyone. Christ is the true light. Oh, my beloved, fix your heart and your mind upon the statement of fact. Christ is the true light. Turn not to any other person for the light. Be sure that it is Christ to whom your heart and to whom your soul is turning for the light of truth and the light of salvation. As we have it in verses 12 and 13, listen very carefully. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power, meaning the right, the privilege, the authority to become or to be called the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The timely and the important question is now before us. My beloved friend, are you still rejecting the one who came from heaven, the eternal Word, the one who died upon the cross to save you from your sins and their eternal penalty? Or have you received him? For John uses the word believe in some form of the verb about 100 times in this wonderful gospel of his. Let me raise the question. What does believe really mean? It does not mean a mere mental assent and agreement, but from what we read in chapter 1 of John and verse 12 before us, to believe means to receive a person, and that person, the Word, who became flesh in the world, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now we follow as we come into verses 14 through 18, the rest of our section. We come and have brought before us the blessed truth of the incarnation of the Son of God. My beloved, we tread upon holy ground. The incarnation of the Son of God. The one who was the eternal Son of God. The one who was God himself. Co-equal with the Father, co-equal with God the Spirit, pre-existing in an eternity past, who had no beginning, no origin, when we read of him becoming flesh. Listen to those words which are revealed in verses 14 through 18. Wonderful words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt, or tabernacled amongst us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory. The glories of the only begotten of the Father. Oh, my beloved, let's look at three great words that are found in these verses that we have just read. They describe the manifestation of the Son of God in his incarnation upon the earth. First of all, think with me of the word grace. Then, the word truth. And third, the word glory. My beloved, when you think of the meaning of grace, grace is seen in connection with his coming to the earth and his life. And as the life, what grace, wondrous grace it was that he should stoop to be made in the likeness of man. And what grace did shine through all of his life. And what joy it is he was not only full of grace, as we have read, but he was also full of truth. Beloved, think of that word grace. Unmerited favor toward us, but also bringing with himself not only his grace, but bringing his truth. Yes, the truth, the absolute truth. Did he not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? And the absolute truth is he, and the truth that shone as the light, and he was the true light. But will you meditate very briefly with me upon the opening words of this 14th verse? The Word became flesh. There is an ancient Latin statement worth repeating. It represents the Word having become flesh as saying, now listen very carefully. This is a translation in a Latin version from this verse. Saying, I am what I always was, God. And I was not what I am, and that is man. Please let me repeat that. I am what I always was. When Christ became flesh, he could say and he proved, I am what I always was, God. And also he could say, I was not what I am now, and that is man. Beloved, think of it very prayerfully. God became man. The Word became flesh. Two distinct natures, one divine, the other human, in one person, both God and man. His person cannot be divided. Can I repeat this truth again? There are too many people who fail to realize the greatness and the glory of this one who was born in the manger of Bethlehem, the Word becoming flesh. He was both God and man at the same time in all the days of his pilgrimage below. And great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, writes 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I would indeed counsel with my fellow believers, be very careful regarding the person of Christ, never failing to acknowledge, regardless as to the opposition of men in their earthly wisdom and denial of this person of Christ. Always remember, he is both God and man. One person, the God-man, and he cannot be divided. Yet there in grace he is revealed. And in that same blessed man, God and man, there is not only revealed grace, there is truth revealed. And that incomparable life upon the earth, it reveals glory too. For John says, we beheld his glory, the glorious of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now as we come further to verse 15, we have the apostle declaring the witness of John and referring it to us. And we find in the closing words of this prologue, he repeats, contrary to the law given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, with a confirmation in verse 18 of a double declaration. Listen to it carefully. Negatively in verse 18, John writes, no man hath seen God at any time. But positively he declares, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Christ is the one who became the manifestation and the representation of all that the Father is. And note the phrase, the one word, and the phrase particularly, he is in the bosom of the Father, for it sets forth the eternal pre-existent sonship of Christ, unbroken, even in the days of his flesh. My beloved friend, we must in the closing moments consider this same blessed person is the one who came to be your Savior and mine. But the question must be raised, have you received him? Here is God's greatest gift to the whole world. Can you say from a redeemed heart, as you call to mind the coming of Christ into the world, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? Did not Jesus say in those incomparable words, God so loved the world? And may I repeat, God loved people, all of them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And my beloved, as we speak sacredly and in the spirit of holiness concerning the one whom we are seeking to remember at large, many do, the birth of that blessed Son of God into this world of sin and woe, coming in all the spotless purity and manifestation of his own holy character, and both at the same time being God and man. My beloved, let me repeat also, he will be the God-man forever. He will never deny his humanity, not even through a coming eternity, but forever. He has taken upon him flesh. And why? That he might redeem you, that he might redeem me, that in that body, Christ in his own body bore our sins upon the tree. My beloved, I ask you to very prayerfully and sacredly and earnestly consider the person who came into this world. God's dear Son, the eternal Word of God, and became flesh. Well, as the poet written the lovely words, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger amid sorrow and shame. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, coming for me. Jesus, my Savior, on Calvary's tree, paid the great price, and now I am free. Oh, it is wonderful, how can it be, dying for me, for me. May I close with the observation that when you study the Gospel of John, as we have read in chapter 1, verses 11, particularly through 13, you may read, you have John dividing the human race into two great sections, those that reject him, and then those that receive him. He came unto his own earthly people, and his own received him not. The rejecters. I trust, my radio friend, you're not amongst the company. Be amongst those who receive him, and those who receive him, believing upon his name, become the children of God and the possession of eternal life. Father, bless thy word. Nay, bless him who became flesh upon the earth to save us to every heart, that he may be the Savior of all who hear the word in his own worthy name. Amen.